WAER Sports proudly presents the Ostrom Avenue Podcast.
Goalpost goes down for just the seventh time in program history. Syracuse football has secured a top 10 win in the Dome.
Freeman straight away elevates and slams. Ladies and gentlemen, Donnie Freeman is here in the 315.
And it's misery at the hands of Maryland. Syracuse with its closest shot at a championship in over a decade gets sent home.
Hearing from a host of guests.
Super excited to welcome back onto the podcast the voice of Syracuse men's lacrosse, Tim Leonard.
Now Jason Benetti, voice of the Detroit Tigers.
And providing all the hot takes.
If Syracuse beats Miami, there are no questions. This program is headed in the right direction. Fran Brown is the leader of the future.
These are guys that can make impacts on day one. You're going to see that presence. That just when Syracuse in the past, when you look at their offensive line and defensive line, they were undersized in committing penalties. Now, they might still commit penalties. Who knows? But at least you know they're not going to be undersized.
It's the Ostrom Avenue Podcast, and it starts right now.
Welcome back into the Ostrom Avenue Podcast. First one of the fall. August 20th, we're recording this. We'll get this up the 21st on Friday. But it's been a long summer. I would say a pretty uneventful summer for Syracuse athletics news.
Yeah.
It's been quiet. Last summer, we had some big news with Steve Angeli, Calvin Russell committing. This summer, it's been a little tamer. We got some basketball scheduling updates. We got some football fall camp and summer camp, some basketball offseason news, just a little bit. But just want to see, how has your summer been, Josh? I know you were down in the Carolinas. How was that? How was the weather, most of all, down in the Carolinas?
Yeah, the weather, obviously the most important thing that we talk about on this podcast. It was hot, man. It was good. I was in North Carolina calling baseball this summer, and it was a blast. But, man, we had some days where it was like 104 degrees, and, man, we were just sweating. We didn't have air conditioning, and it was a grind. It felt like a baseball summer, you know. You're just – you get to the field, you know, you talk to players, you talk to coaches, you get in the press box, you sweat your butt off for 3 hours, and you call a baseball game. And it was a blast.
And that's how it should be. You know, baseball is such an awesome sport. I know my Red Sox, if you want to talk about fun baseball summers, they really turned it around. 30-4 was a stretch they had. But enough of baseball for now. Let's come back to Syracuse athletics. And I'll say, I got to Syracuse today for the semester. The weather here was a little gray, which Syracuse, so classic gray weather. It wasn't too warm. So you know, the no AC in the apartment hasn't really impacted me quite yet. But we'll definitely will in the next couple weeks. So as I mentioned, we got some not a lot of off-season news for Syracuse basketball, but I guess a big one, and we've seen this been playing out all across the country, especially in football and basketball, football more recently, is that these court rulings, judges and lawsuits, and they're trying to get more eligibility, and the NCAA, the Wild Wild West, isn't really like doing anything about it, or at least making an impact. So for basketball purposes, because we'll start on that, talk a lot more about football the rest of this podcast. But basketball, Syracuse received a commitment out of the portal from Quinnipiac transfer forward Amari Monroe. And I'm not going to lie, I didn't really know a lot about Amari Monroe until I did a little research, and I said, all right, 6'7", 220. That's like a legit power forward for college basketball. He averaged 15.6 points, 8.3 rebounds, and 2.3 steals last season.
Yeah.
And then we're talking about Quinnipiac, but it seems like a guy that can play.
Well, I mean, Griffin, we're talking about – I mean, first of all, I'll get to the whole situation later, but we're talking about a guy that won the Metro Atlantic Player of the Year, like 2 years removed. Like, his junior season, he was the best player in that conference. So you're talking about not only, getting a guy in GMAC who loves, the Northeast and the MAC and whatnot, and he can get guys here, but these are ballers. Like, these are guys that were 20 point a game scorers at their schools in this conference. So I don't know how you can't love this get. He probably slots into the starting lineup immediately. I don't know how you wouldn't want a guy who's averaging 15 to 18 points over his last 2 years and can play defense and rebound the basketball, not playing 30, 35 minutes a game. Like, this is going to be one of the best players on the team. Even if he's such a late get, I think they should have no problem like moving the rotation to fit him in. 'Cause I think that's what the plan should be, is if you get a guy, a diamond, a gem in some sort like this, even if it's so late, like, you're gonna want to exhaust him. You're gonna want to spend as much as you can to get him out there. And I love this kid for GMAC. I know he's not a great shooter, but I mean, this is a guy who can be Syracuse's number one scoring option next season.
Wow, not a crazy take, I would say. It'll be interesting, and it's interesting. I read somewhere that what really stood out to me about him was his loyalty to Quinnipiac. You got to figure after you win the MAC Player of the Year your junior year, you have one more year of eligibility. I mean, you have to think that power conference schools are calling his agent, calling him, and being like, "Hey, here's some NIL. Let's maybe move up to maybe the Big Ten, the SEC, ACC potentially." But he didn't leave, and I think that says something about his character. Is like, okay, this is a guy that really knows what he's about, and knew that in his last year of eligibility he might not be able to go somewhere else after, but he stayed at Quinnipiac, and that was interesting. I read from a lot of Quinnipiac guys and writers that they were happy potentially to see Monroe move on and move up, which also really says something about his character, that even if he's not playing for Quinnipiac, that he is still going to excel.
Well,
So
yeah,
they're
and I
excited for
think
him.
you got to give credit to Mike Waters here, who said it best in his article. He talked to Quinnipiac's coach, Tom Pecora, who had said he was getting Power Five interest after winning the MAC Player of the Year, and he was turning down a substantially larger amount of money to return to Quinnipiac and play his senior year there. So you got a guy who's got the great character, he's got the scoring, he's got the attributes. I mean, there's not a lot to knack this kid for, because I mean, this is like the world of college sports where loyalty does not exist, and yet you find a guy like Amari Monroe, he's kind of, turning the tables a little bit here. And one more comment I do want to make about the whole situation is that Quinnipiac, obviously in Connecticut, and he's going to Syracuse next season. And somehow, and this is just, I love the NCAA and the world of college sports, a court ruling in Colorado is the deciding factor that grants some eligibility to transfer from a school in Connecticut to a school in Syracuse, to a school in New York. I mean, we have lost everything. We have lost everything and anything that matters to college sports. It is just an absolute gong show. It is just everything is on fire, and eventually it's going to actually come burning down.
And this will segue us perfectly into football, because it wasn't that far ago, probably less than a week, I believe, that another one of these court rulings impacted Fran Brown's squad. If you remember the name of Justice Ross
Oh,
Simmons,
I do.
you thought that his career for Syracuse was over. His tenure at the with the Orange was injury plagued, across 3 seasons. And so you weren't really sure, how much you could get. But him and Steve Angeli really had a good connection at the start of last season. And then all of a sudden, his name pops up on my Twitter timeline 2 couple days ago. And it's like, all right, Justice Ross Simmons, court case, maybe back to Syracuse. And I'm like, oh, sure. I mean, why not? And then I saw Fran Brown wouldn't have to kick someone off the roster, which I was like, okay, that's good. Don't want
Well, that's
anyone to get
important. That's
hurt
important.
feelings because of some judge ruling in God knows what state this one was in. And so Justice Ross Simmons is coming back. Fran initially was like, we're happy with our roster. I think he was waiting for the paperwork to get signed. But Justice Ross Simmons spotted at fall camp, spotted at practice this week, and seemingly is going to be one of the top options for Steve Angeli this year. I think this get might be one of the bigger I guess returnees, you call them transfer, call them whatever you want. But with Calvin Russell out with a torn Achilles or torn ACL, whatever it was, he's most likely out for the season. Although Fran keeps hinting on the fact that he might play this year, which also is beyond me. It's just part of Fran mind games that really keeps Syracuse fans up at night. But Justus Ross-Simmons has the potential to be the number one target for Angeli.
Yeah. And I think you're going to see, I mean, obviously Angeli, it's taken, some steps to get him back on the field, obviously, and he's expected to be fully healthy and play this season, obviously. But I do think that's nice because you look at this roster and there really wasn't a whole lot of turnover from the start of last season when this team was 3-1 to when they lose 8 straight games and now they have to field a new roster. You lose Willis, you lose Nixon, you lose a couple of the other guys on the offense, and all of a sudden Steve Angeli's walking back into the room and there's 60 new faces. And it's like, well, he transferred here last year and met all his teammates, and now he's got to meet an entirely new team. That's what it felt like. So you get a guy in Justus Ross-Simmons back that, like you said, Griffin had a great connection. I think he caught three or four touchdown passes the first couple of weeks of the season from Angeli, and they seemed to really hit it off in the red zone. I think Angeli's first read, at least at the start of the Clemson game that I can remember, was a fade ball to Ross Simmons where he just let him go up and get it. And that's what you want for a guy that had only played a couple games together. Now you're going to get him back after another offseason of them working together. I think that has to make you really excited, especially when there are a lot of unprovens on this offense.
Yeah, two touchdowns against Clemson, and then two touchdowns against Connecticut, and then one against Colgate. So five touchdowns in the 4 games that he played with Steve Angeli last year. It's an interesting wide receiver room. Before we touch on the quarterbacks, because I definitely want to touch on the quarterbacks while we're on receivers, you have Umari Hatcher, who's entered his name in the transfer portal and came back to Syracuse. You have, we mentioned Calvin Russell not playing. Tyshawn Russell is an interesting name. He was on Syracuse football's team last year. There was a lot of talk about maybe him getting some minutes last season from South Carolina, transferred into Syracuse before last season, and then, from all accounts, didn't have the best camp, is what, Javon Edmonds, our friend of the pod, has reported last year. But this season, he looks like to be a second or third option, maybe a slot guy for Syracuse. And then you have Cole Weaver. There's just a bunch of unknowns. And
Yeah.
I think that's what's interesting, and that you have now JRS back, and he's a known commodity for this team.
Well, and then I think you also look at Matt Outten from Penn State, who they've said has been impressive at camp. And that was a guy who redshirted last season at Penn State, did not play. And this is a 4-star guy out of high school. So he's super athletic. I think he gets some looks on offense. And so I think it's a good problem to have, as we're going to get into the quarterbacks here in a second, where it was not a good problem to have last year. If one of these guys goes down or something happens, like we've already seen with Russell going down, I think this is a much more deep group that they're actually going to be okay if they lose a guy or two at this spot, which is going to be important because if you can keep Angeli on the field and you can keep, a good corpse of weapons on the field, and this is going to be a tough team to go on the road and play against. And the offense, like we saw in year one, they're tough to stop when they're healthy and they're rolling. And I think you have reason to believe that it's not going to mirror what the 2024 team did, but they can sure push it.
Yeah, we did learn about some injuries. Terrell Wilfong broke his collarbone. He seems like he'll be out for some time. And I think the other question, we talked about, receiver playmakers, but you mentioned you lost Willis, you lost Nixon. Those were your top two running backs last season. And, Willis was supposed to be a really, really good option, and he was fine. He showed flashes. But I think that is a position where is might be the biggest unknown on this
Yeah.
roster is what is Syracuse going to get out of its running backs? And you have Juwan Johnson, who is from LSU. You have Amon Miller from Jackson State. And then you have Tyreek Hill, who has gotten a little bit of buzz in camp so far. Was a freshman last year under Fran Brown, now in his sophomore season. I think it's probably going to be a mixture of all three if I had to guess right now. And
Yeah.
that's something where we know it's going to be a really pass-heavy offense with Steve Angeli. He's going to air the ball out. But you need a running back to kind of offset that and at least have a threat of the run. And that was
Exactly.
something that We've seen Syracuse potentially struggle with last season, where with Ricky Collins and even a little bit with Angelis, you knew Syracuse was going to pass. And defenses just learned, hey, you can sell out for the pass. And then when Steve Angeli went out, you can just sell out for the run because Syracuse doesn't have a good rushing attack. Syracuse didn't have a good throwing attack. And you're going to end up, scoring no points, which Syracuse, lost all of his games after he went down. I'm not sure who exactly is the leader amongst the pack right now. And I think that is something that will be very interesting to watch against New Hampshire when presumably we'll get to see all three of them.
Yeah, and I think that's where, because we look at some of the games last year where, or like even the last 2 years where Jeff Nixon just immediately loses his ability to use both facets of his offense, where he just scraps the run and then just decides he's going to throw the ball the rest of the game. Yeah, that can work in some games when you have Kyle McCord at quarterback and you have Steve Angeli at quarterback, but we saw last year where that finally came around to finally bite him, because there were games where he just completely abandoned the run and teams were able to sell out in the past. You can do that with Angeli. It worked against UConn when they were like, all right, we're falling behind, we're losing, we need to throw the ball. And Jim Mora, obviously a fantastic coach, we knew that was going to be a trap game, that was going to be a tough game for Syracuse to play against, and it worked. But then all of a sudden, when you start relying on the run less and less and less, it kind of becomes a habit. And you could see as the season bled on, you look at the Duke game where they abandoned the run early on, which, I mean, it really didn't matter when you scored 3 points. You look at the Pittsburgh games, both times the last 2 years where they've had to just abandon the run immediately. Those were both big losses. You look at UNC, where you have to abandon the run, and then you have a guy who can't even complete 30% of his passes. So there's a lot of times where it was, all right, well, let's try the run, and then when it immediately doesn't work, we're going to just go full pass. And that also didn't work because teams were like, oh, they're not going to run the ball anymore. And they would sell out. Like you said, that can't happen this year. I think that's where New Hampshire and Cal need to be the two games where they establish the run, run the ball 50 to 55% of the time, see what you have, and try and create a threat so that when you go on the road the next 3 weeks of the season, teams know that they can't just sell out against you.
That is going to be big, and because you can't really just rely on the passing game when it's a loud atmosphere on the road. You never know what's gonna get thrown at you in a tough road environment. And I mean, say all you want, but Pittsburgh Thursday night prime time on ESPN.
Yes.
That's at an NFL stadium. That's gonna be a tough. Then the next week, UConn. They lost Jim Mora to Colorado State because UConn likes to spend their money on basketball, so they didn't really fund a football team. But
But
that's
they did get
still
our guy. They did get our guy, Jason Candle from
that
the
is
MAC
true.
from Toledo, and he graciously sent us Vince Karras as a parting gift. So.
And they also have former Syracuse play caller as their new offensive coordinator. So it'll be interesting to see if Syracuse can handle business on their first two road games. You mentioned a guy that couldn't complete his passes 30% of the time in that North Carolina game. And I can confidently say, Syracuse football fans, confidently say, 100%, that we will not see Joe Filardi play a snap of quarterback in the year 2026 for Syracuse football. I can say it. Steve Angeli is healthy for the time being, knock on wood. From what I've seen, they've done a couple of ACC network hits. They've posted a lot on social media, which I think has been fun to see. And from what Coach Fran and Steve himself has said, seems like Steve Angeli is healthy, good to go. 100%, maybe not. We'll see. But he's going to be the day one starter. And then Fran Brown, I think, dished out a decent amount of cash. He's very, protective of the amount of money he likes to dish out or what he says he was dished out. But you have Amari Odom from Kennesaw State.
The old trade, the old one for one swap.
Him and Ricky Collins. Who, congratulations, Ricky Collins. You might be the
He
first
won the
named
starting job.
starter. I got that notification from Pete Thamel. I was like, Pete, why are we announcing that Ricky Collins is the starter? One, there's no way he's actually no way a Division I football team saw what he did last year and was like, okay, I'm making him the starter. Because that's ridiculous. And then two, why am I getting a notification about Kennesaw State starting quarterback? And why is it Ricky Collins? So that was funny. Good for Ricky. I'm happy for him.
Yeah.
Hopefully he can figure things out and maybe come back to Syracuse next year. Although Steve probably has another 2 or 3 years of eligibility knowing the NCAA. Amari Odom out of Kennesaw State, who was their starting quarterback last season, and then seems like he'll be a formidable backup. And then, of course, the highly touted number one overall recruit, Malachi Nelson, who is
Yeah.
not anywhere close to a number one overall recruit
No.
anymore. But he seems, after losing the starting job back-to-back years at his previous schools, he seems like he's fighting for the backup pretty well and maybe even getting the upper hand. I mean, the raw talent is obviously still there if he had a number one five-star ranking to his name. So that'll be interesting. Danny Louder from Georgetown, a Syracuse guy, rocking Lawrence
Crazy.
Moten's number in honor of him. So I think Syracuse's backup quarterback spot in a definitely a better position than last year.
Well, yeah, and I think you look at, that class that Nelson was in and just how loaded it was at the position. And I mean, he was in the class with like Arch and Iamaliava and Dante Moore, and I think everyone was just like raving about that class, and Nelson was one of those guys that was up there. They were like, this guy is a stud. And then we just never saw that. But I think it's a lot different than having Ricky Collins and Joe Filardi. And I think it says a lot about Fran Brown that he's not going to let the same thing happen twice. If there's a setback, if Steve goes down again, they're going to be equipped to play the remainder of the season without having to start a lacrosse player at quarterback. Because if you ever sell yourself short and do what you did last season ever again, you will lose the fan base more than you did last year, because it was borderline unwatchable football the last 3 weeks of the season. I mean, you have to go play at Miami, which, yes, that's never gonna, I mean, they went to the national championship last year, but in that game, you were never going to be close. Shout out Joe Filardi for, getting them on the board at the end of the game with the touchdown pass to cover the spread. And then you go to South Bend and you get whomped. I don't think they've lost it. I think what we went back and looked at the stats, it was like over 100 years since they had lost that bad. And then you think, oh, maybe you can beat BC at home. No, you can't do that. You get a little Dan Villari back at quarterback action for a little bit of that game. And it's just, if they ever have anything close to resembling that again, I know Fran Brown had a poor taste in his mouth. Not only losing the last few games of the season but like that, but just losing the last 8 games of the year, not winning a game after September 20th, that does stuff to you. And I think we saw that, and his actions in the portal proved that he was not going to have that happen again.
Yeah, rumor has it Jeremiah Love is still running into the end zone out in South Bend, instead of playing with the Chiefs, which I think is a very interesting get for them. Offensive line
Cardinals.
wise,
The Cardinals.
Cardinals. The
There's
Chiefs
a
were
high
rumored to
ankle
get him.
sprain. He's already dropping on fantasy boards. He sprained his ankle.
Good to know. Actually, I didn't know that. Well, I also didn't know what team he was on, so that's probably part of the reason why. Offensive line wise, a little bit of the same. Yeah, Travion Mack, Joe Cruz, Byron Washington, Cam Pringle, and then Oluwafuntu Akinchilo. Well, get some pronouncers on that, but offensive line transfer from UCLA, with their offensive line coach Castillo, who came in from UCLA as well. Don't know a whole lot about that group, but four out of the five guys are returners, so seems like those five will be starting. But obviously, Fran likes to shake things up. We'll get you more info on that when we have it. We've already had one Toledo mention. We got to have a couple more because Vince Karras, new defensive coordinator. I am really
Oh, yeah.
excited. This guy knows how to develop recruits and prospects into NFL players. You've seen a couple of Toledo cornerbacks get drafted into the NFL. Quinyon Mitchell, who
That's
I just want to
where
say.
my mind went right away. As soon as we hired him, I was like, this is sneaky.
And I saw Fran speak about this. I heard that Fran was talking to Vince in October, like
Oh.
halfway through the season, when Elijah
He
Robinson
was
was
doing
still on the
all
team.
sorts of stuff last year. I feel like he was just calling random people. Like, he was calling Dion and asking for, punt coverage and whatnot. And I was like, all right, dude. Like, he's flexing the phone book. And I was like, all right, this is good, but like, our special teams are still in the dump. Like, you got to figure this out. Like, we can't keep, muffing punts and having, we had what, 4 punts blocked that year? I mean, come on.
Yeah, Fran knows what he wants and he goes and gets it. I'm not sure of tampering rules and I don't want to get Fran in trouble, but sounds like Fran knew what he wanted with Vince Karras, and I'm really excited about this defensive group. And by all means, one of the worst, if not the worst, in the Power Conference in the ACC last season. But the guys that you wanted to return, you returned them. And I think that is what is very interesting about this group. Antoine Delorier is a guy that I think is going to be playing on Sundays and drafted in the first three rounds in the next couple of years. He is one of the most physical dominant specimens I've ever seen on a football field. And that was just as a freshman, a true freshman. That is promise. And that's a guy that you know is going to be in the middle of that football field and locking things down. And then the biggest other standout to me of just like guys that you return is the secondary. Dmitri Samuel Jr., he's a guy that, we thought was going to play offense, defense, special teams. He played defense and special teams mostly last season with a snap or two in offense here and there. But he's going to be a lockdown corner and he should just be graduating high school and it should just be a freshman. He's already in his second year of college. Chris Peel is a guy, the Georgia transfer, that is getting a lot of talk about potentially being a first-round draft pick by the time next year comes. Didn't have the flashiest stats last year, but when you watch the film of that guy, he's a lockdown corner. So those are the two secondary names that I'm really looking out
Well, I
for. I
think
guess
you look at Davian Kerr too. He had a couple interceptions last year. He was some sort of a ball hawk last year. I think he was, one of the guys that you were happy had come back because he showed some stuff last year.
Both Kerrs, Davian, the nickelback is where they have him on the depth chart. And then Davion Kerr, don't the one letter is a big difference in
Oh, they're wearing
the
the same number too. It's absolutely fantastic.
broadcaster's worst nightmare. But Davion Kerr is a running back. So at least they're on different sides of the ball now. They used to be one used to be a
But
safety, one used to be a
they're both
quarterback.
like possible special teams guys, and I don't think they wear like DAVIO on their, or like it would even be their full name. Like I know they don't wear it on their jersey, so you're just like it's one of the
Her.
two. It's one of the two. You don't know which one.
It's
They're both 6'1", 190, so you kind of get what you get, right?
yeah, that's essentially what you got. I think I saw a picture of Brahim Long on Instagram and he looks like he put on some weight. Gonna
Oh
be another
yeah.
safety for Syracuse this season. And then one guy I'm interested in, I'm not sure if he'll get any play, but Tadarius Hughes, four-star defensive back out of Florida. Same high school as Calvin Russell. And so these are guys that, might give you something
I like that
on.
pipeline. I like that pipeline, the Miami area. That's a strong area for football. You got Columbus and Northwestern and whatnot. If Fran can string some guys there, that's a good sign.
Yeah, there's another receiver, I think Lanier, that, I mean, he's not going to come to Syracuse. But that's what we said about Calvin Russell. But anyways, back to the defense. Cornell Perry is a name that is probably going to get a lot of playing time. And then obviously I was a big Jamie Tremble fan. I always thought that he would be a good tight end, and now he's an outside linebacker, edge rusher. I think the outside linebacker, edge rusher position, getting pressure on the quarterback, is going to be something that if Syracuse does like it did last year, and which was equivalent to nothing, then you're not going to get any success. If this team can put pressure on the quarterback, and that's the area where Fran Brown added a lot and probably the most on the defensive side of the ball, then this defense potentially could stop some good teams.
I mean, I look at a guy that, and I don't know why, but I feel like I was so into the 2022 recruiting class. The 22 and 23 recruiting classes when like they were coming up through high school. Maybe it's just because, here in Michigan we had Mel Tucker as our coach, and it was like the first time that we had seen, large scale global recruiting. Because I had grown up with Mark D'Antonio, who had been like strictly in state Ohio, Indiana guys, like all guys that were within 250 miles. Tumisi Adeleye will be, I think, a surprise to a lot of people. I think it's a guy who had a lot of promise coming out of high school. He went to a couple schools, Texas A&M, Michigan State. UNLV last year, where he picked up six sacks. And now he comes to Syracuse, where he's proven he's, a fifth-year player. And I think this is a guy they can lean on to be a solid edge rusher, which is, I think we can both agree, Griffin, similar to the running backs on the offensive side of the ball. There's not really a whole lot to rush the passer this year. And I think that's where Adelaide will have to step in and do so quickly.
Yeah, I mean, they're going to need a guy to have six plus sacks, and it'll be interesting because, I mean, we talk about that position, and Syracuse hasn't had a dominant presence since Fadil Diggs, and I think that's a guy that, is now trying to make his mark in the NFL. So the thing with the edge rusher position is you can't let no matter how good your cornerbacks are and your defensive backs are, you've got to get pressure to the quarterback. And maybe that's something where Vince Carras says, you know what, we have good secondary. Let's throw seven guys. Let's throw six guys on a rush and see how they mix up the pass rush. I think that will be pretty interesting. I'm really fascinated with how this defense is going to look out. I'm excited. I trust Fran and I trust Vince Carras, and I think that will be a real telling sign of how this football team is going to do. We'll save the schedule preview for next week. Syracuse obviously starts
Okay. We
with
got
the new.
two full weeks, so.
We got 2 full weeks, and maybe we'll have a friend of the pod on. Maybe
That'd be
Javon
fun.
Edwards, maybe Brent
That'd be
Dax
fun.
will bring on next week to talk about the schedule and some of their observations from camp. Let's talk about special teams real
It's a
quick.
sneaky one. It is a sneaky one.
The
The
sneaky what?
schedule has some potential. I think you see a little bit of a wider margin on people on where they think this team could end up. And it feels like it does have some of that strength from last year, but it also feels like you could be coming back from your road trip 5-0.
Four.
Stay
Ooh,
tuned though. It'll be
five and
next week.
oh. Five and oh.
You could be
Interesting.
coming home from that Virginia game 5-0. But
That would be
stay tuned for next week.
good. Maybe a College Game Day, Syracuse versus Louisville, both ranked. Who knows? First ever College Game Day at Syracuse for football. Who knows?
It will
Probably not.
happen eventually. It won't happen probably this year, but it will happen eventually.
It should have had this. I mean, there's a lot of what ifs about that Kyle McCord season, but I think you could have gotten a game day there if you're undefeated against Miami, which, Syracuse should have been undefeated against that Miami team. We'll talk about the schedule next week. Let's go to the special teams. Only one thing I want to hit on, and Trip Woody's the kicker. Sure. Trip Woody's all right. My
He's the beast.
guy. I
He's
think
the beast.
I'm declaring my guy. Wait, are you a Trip Woody guy? All
Love Trip Woody.
right,
That guy's a
fine.
beast.
You can have him. You can
No,
have him.
I don't want him to be my guy, but you got it. If you want
All
him as
right.
your guy. Because I can't consciously like
No.
sit in front of the TV and be like, "Oh man, I really hope they don't get this third down because I need Trip Woody to kick more field goals because that's my guy."
All right, no. Okay, all right, this is not gonna be my guy. Well, let's we. All right, this is gonna be my number two guy, and I know we haven't really done this in the past, but I need a number two guy, and it's
Oh.
not Trip Woody. It's not. It's the freshman punter, Jimmy Gregg. Talk about swagger, and I think Jimmy Gregg has it. And all I've seen from him on social media and videos is that this guy, he can command a room, and that's what I want my punter to be. I want him to be a jokester. I want him to kick that ball, and I want him to have a mustache. And at some points, he has a mustache, not as good as yours, Josh, but he's working on it. And he can control a room. He's funny, good personality, and I want my punter to do that. I saw Jack Stonehouse got cut. Sorry for you, Jack, but
Aww.
Trip Woody and Jimmy Gregg, that's my new dynamic duo for this special teams roster.
Yeah, I mean, you talk about Jimmy Gregg, that was the number one punter in the nation. So you go from having the guy in Stonehouse, so he did get drafted. I am remembering he did get drafted, I believe, at the end of the 7th round.
No, I don't think they had anyone get
Oh, he went
drafted.
undrafted. I think Tommy, was it Tommy Doman? There was a punter that got drafted, and we were watching it in the hotel, and we were like bummed that it wasn't Stonehouse. But then he did get picked up, and then he got dropped. That makes me sad. Well, he was the first team ACC punter last year, and now you get the number one punter in the high school class. So that pipeline stays strong. You keep that part of the special teams intact, and you return Trip Woody, who is a very good place kicker, I would say. He is
Place
above
kicker.
average, and we like him. We like Trip a lot, so.
Hopefully, the Syracuse special teams debacles are in the past. Demetrius Samuel's probably going to be returning punts. Davion or Davion Kerr, maybe both of them will be returning kickoffs.
Kylie Kill had some kickoffs last year too, so he could be mixed in there. I think they've said Matt Outten could return punts and kicks a little bit. Could see a little bit of everyone. It
Which
feels like
I
it doesn't feel like a prove it year. It feels like a feel it out year still, because I feel like this team is still so young.
very young. But that's the thing with, I mean, the thing with football, and we can talk about this, is just like, you never know if these guys are going to be back next year. So you've got to make the most of every single year that you have some of this top end talent. And that's the interesting thing about this Fran Brown season is it's, I feel it's a lot of what can Steve Angeli do? And I think that's going to be how it rolls for this season, at least in my eyes. But we'll have plenty more Syracuse football coverage when we return on the podcast next week. Syracuse men's, women's soccer, field hockey seasons are starting soon. Of course, any other basketball news we'll touch on, both on the men's and women's side. I'm interested to see the rest of this women's basketball schedule unfold. We got some men's news. They're hosting a bunch of New York State foes, which I think is great for the program. Cornell, like Binghamton's back on the schedule. A bunch of these schools that, you know, Syracuse should be playing. And I think
Like
that
they should be
is,
playing Georgetown and
they
St.
should be
John's
playing.
every
Yep.
year.
Georgetown's not on the schedule yet. I don't think it will be. But St. John's, with no Donnie
No,
Freeman, he got
Donnie's gonna
injured.
that like kills half the vibe of the game. It's
I
like,
know. It's like, you really wanted to beat Donnie.
yeah, you really wanted
Really
to.
wanted to beat Donnie. I guess the last thing we'll talk about on this episode will be Donnie Freeman. We'll be back with another episode next week, maybe with special guests. Josh and I will both be in Syracuse. Classes start Monday. That's crazy to think. And maybe
Wow.
we'll give you some injury updates if we see any football players walking in boots like we did last year. All right, catch you next time on the Ostrom Avenue podcast. Thanks so much for listening. You can check out any other podcast we have, Donna, WER.org, or wherever you get your podcast. Until next week.